So real quick, before we get into our next episode, I just want to acknowledge that Brendan, our super fan Brendan, tried watching Interstellar again. And he does not like that movie at all.
Did he hear him where I said you got to make it past the 45 minutes?
I'm pretty sure he did. He seems like a pretty loyal listener. So I'm sure whatever we recommended to him early, because I even recommend start it at the 60 minute mark. Like just, you know, just watch a nice 90 minute movie. You know, you don't need to watch the baseball dust storm again. He did appreciate on watching again. He did appreciate the you know, scientifically based, if you will, time travel, you know, black hole, you know, trying to get some squeeze some science in there. But yeah, I think it's also too, because of all the science, I think he just like the fact that they use a little too much like heart in some of their decisions. I think that drives him a little bit nuts. He's just like, no, you science motherfuckers would never do that because you're too science based. In which I say, I think that's what every time travel movie tries to tell us, is that heart is going to win every time. And, you know, heart ends up being the reason that Interstellar ends on such a high note, is because he goes with his heart and not science. But what does he say here? I realize that there's another movie starring Matthew McConaughey. He says it's not just Matthew McConaughey either. I realize there's another movie starring him, which also contains time travel, that is one of my favorites and explores many of the same themes. And that's Contact. So yeah, so I'm gonna actually probably email him back so I can get a direct answer. But I'm gonna also ask here: is it a Nolan thing? Like I love Christopher Nolan. I love his movies. I love how he makes films. I can totally see that not being someone's bag. But if you like Tenet, if you like the Batmans, and it's just Interstellar, then there is definitely, you know, a lot of people don't like, what's her name? Like they just see her face and they're just like, nope. But thank you, Brennan. You're a rock star for giving it another shot. But go check out in the Shadow of the Moon. See if that doesn't make Interstellar look a little bit better. Sometimes you gotta eat.
Hey, you don't like my sandwich? Eat a cream cheese and olive sandwich. Then you'll like my sandwich.
Eat a hot mayonnaise sandwich and then tell me my tuna's that terrible.
Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel, using pop culture as our Lisa Kudrow.
There's so many things. That's what you picked. Oh, man. I like that. I never know.
We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Pop all the way. Oh, what fun it is to time travel in Christmas Day.
Oh, my God. You are awesome.
I love Christmas time travel.
Do you?
I love that it's a subsect that nobody would ever think.
I know. It is weird that, yeah, and we've been talking about doing, like, can we do a Christmas Carol? Like, does that actually count?
It totally is. Well, yes, it is.
Because he doesn't, he's just viewing. I know in the movie they make him physically go.
Deja vu. Oh, Deja Vu, he did travel.
They make him go physically just to make the movie more interesting, but he's not actually there.
That's, yeah, if you can just go travel in time but be like a ghost, does it count as time travel if you can't affect anything? I'd say you're still traveling. You're still there, even though you're in a transparent state. I think it does count.
So is what you're saying, Scott, is every night when I go to sleep, I time travel? My mind's there. My mind's in a different time and place.
Oh, in a dream?
Yeah.
But you're not actually going to the past. In this, they're actually going there, but they're just transparent.
This one, this episode, yes. But in the original Christmas Carol, yeah, they actually...
Wait a minute. I have a really cool thought right now. What year did Christmas Carol become authored?
59. No. 48.
1848.
Whoa.
I want to know if it's the first time travel book or if Time Machine is. Even though we're not doing this today. What year was Christmas Carol written? 1843. What year was... Because this might be kind of special. I think this is relevant.
I think it is.
We're saying if this is, you know, valid to do it. And now we're saying it might be the first example of time travel. What year was Time Machine written? It's not written before then, is it?
I don't think so.
1895.
Yeah.
All right, my friends. Christmas Carol is one of the first forays into the world of time travel. I mean, we should look it up. There's other novels. I can't pretend to know every novel, but like for like major, that's really interesting.
But you make a good point, Scott. We need to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
The concept, it is a novel, and they're saying, I'm going to take you to the past. You are going to witness your past. You are going to see a future. Like, that is time travel.
Yeah.
Dickens, congratulations. The great, 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 great godfather of time travel. Back to the Future owes you a huge debt.
Oh, well, we'll find out. We'll find out if he was even the first. Who knows who he was biting off of?
Yeah. All right. By the way, we're not doing Christmas Carol today, folks. Sorry.
We're not doing that at all. None of that even matters. What we're doing today is an American Dad episode. Season 2, Episode 9, The Best Christmas Story Ever Told. What do you know about American Dad, Scott? Tell me everything you know about American Dad.
My story with American Dad is a bit odd. I appreciate McFarlane's humor. It was nothing I ever sought out on my own. When I used to go to my gym and go running on the treadmill, it had a TV. And for some reason, whenever I went, American Dad was the only thing that was like watchable on. It was either that or like Who We're at War With at CNN. So I watched a bunch while jogging at the gym. Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's, you know, making fun of a huge conservative agenda from their point of view in an overdone way with a random alien that's whiny, a little bit Jewish sounding. I can say that because I'm Jewish and also very bisexual, multisexual.
Roger is all over the place.
Yeah, Roger's all over the place. What's not to like?
I fell in love with American Dad because for a minute, it took the place of Family Guy. Family Guy got canceled, and then American Dad came out, and I was like, okay, well, if I can't have Family Guy, I'll take the next best thing. And then Family Guy came back, and I was like, well, that's the end of American Dad. And here we are 20 years later, and they're both going strong. And I'm so happy. I do not seek out American Dad. I watch it occasionally. If I'm in a hotel room, and there's inevitably a marathon going on, I'll put it on. If Family Guy is a little bit too frantic for me at that time, I'll throw on some American Dad. So I'm really glad it's there, but I don't know who the fuck is watching this show in the now to keep it from getting canceled. Like, I don't know anyone who's like, whoo!
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's Thursday night. I gotta get to my American Dad.
So this is a time travel episode. It is also a Christmas story, just in time for the holidays. So I'm glad we're doing this. This is great.
And this is a Christmas story. This is not a holiday tale.
I love that everyone keeps redoing Christmas Carol, right? It's redone in Scrooge and it's redone in these specials and they make fun of it. And it totally starts that story and it flips it on its ass. It's so hilarious. I love it. I love that they take it and they turn it into something else entirely.
And they fuck. Yeah. First of all, like Scott says, like it turns into a real time travel story, like where they interact in the real time. So Stan is pissed off that everyone says happy holidays and
instead of Merry Christmas. People are like, hey, we have to include all, and they're not. And he's just getting upset at the liberal agenda. And no, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
And he's finding that their town has to, right, they have to change the thing. They have to get rid of their nativity scene in the store. They say happy holidays.
What is his first? Why does he go back the first time?
So
Lisa Kudrow is
because he's just, it's like Christmas Carol. He becomes a Scrooge because he's so upset. He gets so upset by all these things that he takes their Christmas tree, throws it out the window, destroys their toys. That night he's sleeping and he gets visited by the ghost of Christmas Past, Lisa Kudrow, who's like just gotten the job.
She was a tooth fairy.
So he had said prior, when he's talking about what's wrong with the world, he said, you know who to blame? And everyone's like, yes, Jane Fonda. He's like, yeah, if Jane Fonda hadn't filled people, like, make everything's okay to be communist, then we'd still have Christmas. Anyway, so then...
If she hadn't gone to Vietnam, did she visit?
Yeah.
She visited Vietnam, said it's okay to love everybody.
Yeah. then we would have Christmas.
Have you ever seen Clute?
No, I keep meaning to. I should. She's like a spy, right?
Yeah, it's totally on my, like, oh, I should watch that. It's so fucking 70s. Like, whenever you like, oh, this movie's from the 70s, let's see what it's about. 9 times out of 10, the word prostitute shows up in the synopsis. It's like gritty 70s movies.
Oh, you gotta love it. Yeah.
Where does the prostitute? Do you believe there's a movie called The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
And that came out like in the 80s, I think. Oh, no, it does have an R rating, but yeah. And it's like not a sleazy film. Yeah, it's, I should see it.
Someone said, let's put this on the marquee. This is going to sell.
I would not watch today, but how did that go by in the 80s? We're going to review that next time. There's time travel. He time travels into Dolly's boobs.
That is an alternate universe that will eventually be washed away by the Mandela effect.
Yeah, like, I think you're right.
Wasn't there a movie called The Best Little Whorehouse? No. No, that never
happened. That's ridiculous.
There's a Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton movie called Roadhouse.
So he time travels. They had just time traveled. This Ghost of Christmas Past is showing... Stan, like, remember when you were a little boy and Christmas meant something, and he's holding up his toy and she's talking about the time period and she mentions a few things and Jane Fonda, and she's looking there and she looks away and Stan's gone. As soon as she meant Jane Fonda, he's taken off and running down the street. And then all of a sudden Christmas Carol is just...
Yeah, he goes to the set of Clute.
He's going to kill Jane Fonda.
To kill Jane Fonda. He realizes it's not Jane Fonda's fault. It's Donald Sutherland for encouraging her to take on a political agenda. So then he goes to kill Donald Sutherland at dinner with Jane Fonda. He runs into Martin Scorsese in the bathroom and talks Martin Scorsese into not doing drugs anymore.
Right. And he's going to go kill the other two. And then the wife and the fairy talk him out of it. The Ghost of Christmas Past, and they bring them back home.
And the streets.
And when they go back home, everything's different, and their house has like all this Russian...
There's Russian tanks driving up and down their street.
And then some stranger lives there with a shotgun who's clearly Russian, and they go out and everything's occupied by the communists. The Russians have taken over. This is in a very Back to the Future 2-esque moment. They go to a future they do not recognize.
And the Ghost of Christmas Past deduces that there was no taxi driver. There was no... Martin Scorsese didn't do drugs, so he didn't make Taxi Driver. So Jodie Foster wasn't in. So John Hinckley didn't try to impress Jodie Foster by shooting Reagan.
And which did not empower him and then able to win. And so Mondale wins. And Mondale just hands it over to the Russians and kisses their foot. And he's like, oh, that's why there's a statue. And you see a statue of Mondale kissing like the Russians' foot. Hey, who doesn't love a good butterfly effect, right?
Oh God.
Because you don't do this, this doesn't do that. Like, this is what you and I always want in time travel movies, is like everything has so many cause and effects and branches. Love it. I love it.
Martin Scorsese not smoking a doobie in a bathroom led to the Soviets ruining. And not only that, so now so they're like, okay, Stan, why they don't just... And of course this is, you know, like all time travel movies, like, well, why don't they just go back in time and stop Stan from stopping Martin Scorsese from stopping drugs? So instead we have to accept the fact that this deal is done. And so now Stan has only one option, and that's to go back and make Taxi Driver himself, which he does a terrible job at. And
he's on the set the first day, and he fires De Niro.
De Zero. Robert De Zero. And John Wayne takes the role.
Yeah, he makes the movie how he thought it'd be best, but John Wayne, and they're in the West, and Jodie Foster's tied up, and then John Wayne saunters over in a taxi in the desert.
Rescues Jane Fonda. John Hinckley is not impressed.
John Hinckley's in the movie theater. They're all there behind John Hinckley. And even his wife, Stan's wife, is like, so, that Jodie Foster, huh?
And John Hinckley, she's a hot piece of ass. She's 12! She said, I forget what she said. Like, yeah.
She has grass on the field. Play ball.
Yeah, she's a hard 12. That's what she says.
Wow.
That's another thing in our past. Like, Jodie Foster was a child in Taxi Driver. She wasn't 12, but she was a child.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless America.
So then they realize that now they're screwed. The future is not going to happen the way they need to. They tell him he has to assassinate Reagan, and he's just like, I can't, Reagan.
Not assassinate.
He has to shoot Reagan.
Yeah, you have to be the one who shoots Reagan.
But Reagan, he's like, I can't shoot Reagan. Even to save the universe, I can't do it. And then eventually they talk him into it, and then he's about to do it. And like, by the way, you don't have to kill him. You just got to wing him. Like, oh, thank God you told me that.
Woo!
That was going to get ugly.
Stan is a trained killer. He's never winged anybody in his life.
And so in an homage to Taxi Driver, you hear the bullets, and it all goes white, just like in Taxi Driver, and they're in the future, and everything is relatively back to normal. You know, he appreciates his family. And I think the only thing that's different is it's easier to buy a gun in the future.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Why was that?
The Ghost of Christmas Past buys him a gun, and the gun laws are easier. I guess because he attacked the president in such a visible way, they made the gun laws easy. I don't know.
She said something about you didn't kill. So I forget who else she says she doesn't kill. She's like, yeah, you just winged Ronald Reagan. You didn't kill so-and-so. So there's no gun laws. Hey, you want a little more Time Pop in your life? Head on over to patreon.com/timepop. And if you have just enough Time Pop in your life, open up your app while you're listening and give us 5 stars. Maybe write a review. Nudge the person next to you on the train. Thank you for your support. Anything you do to get the word out about Time Pop ensures that there will be lots more Time Pop in the future. This was awesome. This was so, I love it when, you know, because like the movie we just did, In the Shadow of the Moon, you know, they're trying to, you know, it's got to all come together. Even if the time travel doesn't make sense, the story itself has to come together. And I just love a good cartoon where it's like, none of this has to make sense. It just has to be funny. And to get, you know, Jane Fonda and John Hinckley and Robert De Niro and all these people in this past, to blame the entire liberal movement on Jane Fonda is just fantastic.
Uh-huh.
We got to blame somebody.
Yeah, I love that. Just in this, in the whole world, his fear of Mondale and just sends it to a big Soviet oblivion.
I'm so bummed. I forgot about Mondale. Kelly and I just made a passport. We always joke about how different Lafayette is from Berkeley, and her parents always joked like, yeah, I need a fucking passport to come to Berkeley. So Kelly made her parents a passport for Berkeley, and it's so much fun. She's like, things you can enjoy. In the passport, you open it up, it's like, things you can enjoy in Berkeley. The yelling man, there's a guy that rides his bike by our house every day and just shouts some political nonsense. We have not yet been able to decipher what he says, but he's obviously trying to get his message across. Things you can do in Berkeley, you know, go to a Cal game, do this, do that. And then on one of the pages, we decided to do a bumper sticker bingo. Like, things you can do while driving around Berkeley, play bumper sticker bingo. And we did like, milk is liquid meat. And, you know, marijuana, some marijuana thing, a coexist bumper sticker, like, you know, find these to play bingo. And I think we ended up going for Dole and whoever, or not Bob Dole. God, I don't remember, but yeah, we made some joke about some lefty bumper, some ancient lefty bumper sticker. And I so wish we would have remembered Mondale. That would have been so much. Like, that dude, talk about someone who's like lost to the test of time.
Yeah.
Like, that guy just disappeared.
But now he's back and he kissed the boot of the Russians.
He handed us over to the commies.
I love it. What a random plot. You're going to try to show him the Christmas past to increase his heart, and he just runs off to kill Jane Fonda.
And this is one of those episodes that makes me so happy, like, how early in the run it was.
Yeah.
You know, like, just one of those ideas, like, oh, I have a great idea. You know, this isn't one of those, like, season 15, like, I don't fucking know. Time travel? Like, whatever. Let's just do something.
I love, here's my favorite joke. When he's getting all flustered that everything is holidays, he's like, I really need holiday spirit. And his wife's like, how about we go to church? And he's like, no, I don't want to do anything boring. I want to do like what really symbolizes like the holiday. Let's go to the mall. And then they're at the mall. And the first thing he's like, there it is. 2 teenagers sitting on a man's lap while a midget takes photos. That feels like the holidays.
And the fucking, like, and they're going around trying to raise awareness for the holiday rapist. And he,
oh,
gets,
yeah.
He gets really mad. He goes, it's the Christmas rapist!
It's nothing sacred! By the way, we skipped the total sub-storyline that Roger is very unhappy with. With Roger is unhappy with what he's done with his life in the present. And he's drinking himself to a stupor. And he, I guess he's been around for like 60 years. They decide in the mall to buy something for Roger. He goes to the dollar store and he gets Disco Hits 1974 to 80. And when he time travels back, that goes with him. And they show Roger as like this, like a line cook or a server. I forget.
Well, Roger.
But he's trying to be an actor. He's trying to be an actor.
Roger doesn't time travel though. This is the original.
No, I know. No.
Yeah.
Stan goes back. The original Roger's there. And anyway, Stan drops the cassette in the snow and Roger finds it and becomes the disco mogul. He discovered, because he knows the bands are going to be hits, he discovers them and makes money off them. So then his life has meaning and he says, look, Ma, I became something.
Don't look, does some cocaine.
But then by the end, disco falls and the cocaine and he ends up losing it all.
That's right. Because in the future, he's like, I invented disco. And they're like, yeah, Roger, whatever. Because that's not an alternate timeline, right? That's his.
Yeah, that's the new timeline. Also, we've got to assume in this timeline, there's also no taxi driver. I mean, there's the shitty John Wayne. Like they just went to the future. In this reality, taxi driver has John Wayne and he attempted to kill the president. And that's the future that they're in.
That's right. And Martin Scorsese is still making.
Martin Scorsese. What was the film? It was like called Choo Choo.
Yeah.
Instead of Taxi Driver because of no drugs. His film's called like Chattahoochee Choo Choo or something like that. Yeah. Chattahooga Choo Choo, whatever.
That's right. This future, like.
This future has like no Scorsese, no Taxi Driver. And the someone who assassinated Reagan was someone else.
Oh.
I loved it, man. This is, you know, and science-wise, obviously doing magic, but there's no loopholes with it. Like, they cover butterfly effect really well. They cover, like, different timelines, just like Back to the Future 2. It's fun. They even have the thing with the cassette and the detail. Like, for being pretty silly in half an hour, that's pretty, and it's a holiday special. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody, and happy holidays to all you. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a Christian, but one who was raised Christian and a good Jewish boy here. And happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Merry Holidays.
Yeah. Happy holidays from all of us at Time Pop. This year, bringing you holiday time travel to enjoy with the whole family.
This is just our warm-up. We got a big holiday one coming probably next week. I don't know when these will be released. But this is just our holiday warm-up.
Yeah.
Folks, we've missed the boat on the Christmas. We always, you know, we've been just flying by the seat of our pants. I've been trying really hard to plan this podcast, you know, with purpose, you know, around the holidays and stuff like that. So this year we did a little bit better. Next year we're going to do even better. It's going to be great. What time is it, Scott?
Oh, man. I think it's maybe, have I done 7:30?
No. No, you have not. You've done seven. Twilight Zone was 7:20.
Oh, wow.
And then your next closest above that, you've gone Twilight Zone 7:20, South Park 8:45, Loki 9.
Oh, I gave 8:45 to South Park?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's give this one 8:50.
Woo!
Congratulations. American Dad, you beat South Park in the time travel animated delight category.
Yeah. I'm looking at my other ratings. I'm always looking at my ratings when I'm doing this. I think I'm going to stop doing that. Even if I end up accidentally rating something the same, I'll adjust it by 1 or 2 minutes later. But I'm way too influenced by looking at my ratings because I got to go higher than South Park. I can't go as high as Loki.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah. But this is, it's really funny. It's a really, you know, for especially for people who kind of grew up during this time. We didn't grow up through all this time, but, you know, we were around all of this. 8:20.
All right. There it is. It's funny. I feel like we've been rating it kind of harshly. Now I'm like, does Loki deserve like 10? Am I too harsh that like no one's touching 10 to 12?
Yeah. I think we both have a mental block that 10 is perfect.
Yeah.
I think we're both having a really hard time of even though we say it every time, it's a 12-point system, it's a 12-point system. It's still that 10. I mean, whew. You gotta be good. But we'll settle in. We've got We're going to do some, I've set up our rewatch scenario for next year. Make sure we do a few rewatches, and that'll help us rate some older movies. And that might help us dial in this system a little bit. But yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not, you know what? I'm not even going to ask the question. Unless you...
Would I go back to try to see my past, but then leave to assassinate? No, I would not assassinate Jane Fonda.
How far would you go to right what you once put wrong?
If someone took you to the back to witness your past, would you even think of just running away for your own agenda?
So you make Mike D late for his first rehearsal.
Oh no.
Now you've got to go back. No, Mike D's too big. You could be Ad Rock.
Thank you.
You could be
what? Ad Rock's not too big?
Well, Mike D was the, I mean, they're all really good, but I think without Mike D, I don't think the Beastie Boys exist. I think Mike,
oh my God, I beg to differ. Ad Rock to me is the glue.
I feel like Mike D is the one that was like, we got to do this. We got it. I feel like he was like the engine behind that. I'm not saying they wouldn't have rapped or maybe not even been famous.
This is for a different podcast.
Excellent. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. If you would like more Time Pop, go to patreon.com/timepop. If you have questions, comments, or recommendations, go to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Find us on the social medias at timepoppod, @time_pop_pod. Looking for more great podcasts to listen to? Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lifton. See you in the 70s, all the cocaine and the Jane Fonda and the Scorsese.
I would go back in time to smoke a doobie with Scorsese.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Was it Taxi Driver where he's all crazy in the backseat? Yeah.
Taxi Driver's...
He's like, you know who's in there? He's like, that's my wife. She's fucking another guy. What do you think about that?
I've never watched Taxi Driver from
Oh, come on.
It's one of those movies I know that I've seen 90% of it.
Get it together.
I've never just watched Taxi Driver. So that's, maybe we can do that instead of a bad movie next time we hang out. Maybe we'll watch Taxi Driver and then we'll watch a bad movie.
It's just a little bitty pissant country place. Ain't nothing much to see. No drinking allowed. We get a nice quiet crowd. Plain as it can be. It's just a piddly squatting old time country place. Ain't nothing too high. Just lots of goodwill and maybe one small thrill, but there's nothing dirty going on. Nothing dirty going on.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.